You're listening to Quest to the Core, a podcast about leading with intention, clarity, and courage from the inside out, where the leadership journey gets personal, reflective, and powerfully real. In every episode, Jonna and Simone invite you into thoughtful dialogue that challenges assumptions, sharpens self-awareness, and equips you with actionable insights to lead with greater impact. Now, here is today's episode.
When people picture courage in leadership, they imagine bold decisions or heroic acts. But the most courageous leaders aren't the ones charging ahead. They are the ones that are willing to release or to step back, to trust others, and to face fear with clarity instead of control.
This is Quest to the Core, where we explore the mindsets and moments that shape how we lead, learn, and live. I'm Jonna.
And I'm Simone. Today, we're exploring professional courage, why it's not about just fearlessness, but about leading through fear. We will look at what it is, why it matters, and how to grow through the core framework.
And the term professional courage is not used as often as other terms that we hear. So this may actually be a new term for some, but professional courage isn't about impulse. It really is about discernment. It is that balance between what we're thinking, what we're feeling, and what we actually do.
It really is that the thought of bravery, because bravery and courage come up together, but bravery is a choice in the face of something that is meaningful.
It really is. And it lives in those moments of decisions, not disaster, right? Mm-hmm. We all hear those stories of somebody who was very brave because there was some catastrophic event and they stood up and made some great decisions and helped, right, lots of people. But professional courage is about speaking the truth. It's about setting those boundaries and really making the call that no one else really wants to make.
Professional courage is not something that we necessarily wake up wanting to do or to be. It's just something that we do because of what we say, because of that meaning, because of that purpose. The alternative of doing nothing would be so catastrophic to the purpose that I have that I have to, I'm compelled to, and I'm driven to do that.
Well, and I think the term professional doesn't necessarily mean perfect or polished.
Mm-mm.
And again, you know, it's not, we don't just wake up and we're polished in this, but it really revolves around being principled, right? It is that discipline, even when our instincts are like, no, I need to react to something really quickly. Professional courage really is about how are we responding with the right timing, with the right sensitivity.
Yeah, there was one definition that I heard. I don't remember who it was attributed to, but that courage is the willingness to take bold actions that serve a purpose you perceive worthy despite the fear.
That is very powerful. I really like the phrase in there that you perceive worthy. Let's spend a few minutes just talking about that little piece. When you hear that, what does that mean to you?
You know, what comes up for me is the Simon Sinek. We refer to him a lot, but the original video that he went viral over of what's your why? And it's that center, that core. And sometimes it doesn't even have words yet. You just know it's there. It's that innate feeling. There's a burning in your belly that says you need to act. So whether when you're a young kid and you see someone else being bullied, and this is not right. There's this sense of what's right, what's wrong. And courage is acting on what you really believe to be right.
Well, I know as we were prepping for this, we read a couple of different articles, and in one of them, it mentioned how people actually overestimate how courageous they will be in particular situations, which I think aligns with our conversation we've had about social and self-awareness, that people typically overestimate that as well. But it just speaks to the ability to be professionally courageous, or being courageous in moments that we need to be, is really built on practice and reflection and not just a wish or imagination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can't wish it to be so. So the conditions show up that this is really the time to be brave, to do that, to act on. And it's a It's like where our inner narrative meets up with our action and our compulsion to do something, even if we haven't articulated it out loud, if that makes sense.
It does. It does. And I think when we think about all the different situations that we encounter, all the different risks that our brain processes at any given moment in time, being able to be courageous in those moments, we've all approached the situation and, you know, we don't want to look like a fool in front of people, or we don't want to, you know, react in a way that potentially could risk our career projection. But being able to have that purpose behind whatever it is that we feel is in that situation, and then to make sound decisions based on how we're going to respond, really is the key. So that connection to emotional intelligence is there as well.
Yeah, you know, the sound decision parts, you know, sounds kind of easy when we say it in words, but that's the frightening part.
And neuroscience actually shows us that when we look at courage, it activates both the fear and the reward centers in our brain. Managing courage is not a feel good, it's just wonderful and it's comfort and it's going to be great. It actually is pushing us outside of our comfort zone and allowing us to grow in that moment when we are making that courageous decision.
Professional doesn't mean that polished, as you said. It means principled. So have the discipline to trust a system that you built, even when all of your instincts say, jump in and fix it. I know you said that earlier, but I think, you know, parents need to relate to this too, that it's not just in the world of work, but it's in that parenting realm as well.
Well, I think that's difficult, right? Because a lot of times we want to help someone else be successful, whether that's a leader or a parent or a friend. So courage is not about taking charge and taking control over the situation. It really is about choice. So when we look at it from that perspective, why does it matter so deeply, especially in leadership or even as a parent? And especially, why does it matter right now?
So why it matters now? I think there's this connection between control and safety. We think that being in control and holding control is safe. But the courage to let others lean in builds that safety. Because, you know, growth can't happen without that psychological safe environment. So letting go actually strengthens that safety. It says, hey, I trust you enough to try. And that actually requires some vulnerability from a leader.
It truly does.
And so, you know, when things get really unpredictable, courage and vulnerability are not really opposites of each other. They're really the same energy, but just pointing in different directions. So vulnerability is like, I'm exposing myself. I don't know this information, or I do know how to do this and I'm letting you do this. That can be vulnerable. You're exposed that something might fail. Courage, on the other hand, is the act to just stand there anyway. If you can partner courage and vulnerability together, it becomes a performance advantage of sorts.
It was really interesting in one of the articles we read from Forbes, where it described courage as a business strategy that actually creates resilience, experimentation, innovation, and trust from a leader with a team.
It underpins the whole concept that transformation can't happen without courage, and it can't happen without letting go. And so it's this whole cycle. So that article really points to, if you say you want transformation and you are not letting go, you're not allowing people to take responsibility, you're not going to transform. You may get incremental growth, but you're not going to grow.
Well, that letting go piece is probably the most difficult for many of us. I know for myself, with high responsibility and making sure things are done at a certain expectation level, that letting go piece is difficult. It takes effort and really intention, but it's also a mind shift that has to happen as well, right? It has to happen with the perspective of being right or being correct to really being real in the situation and being able to have that courage to say, it's okay.
It's tough to stand back and be quiet.
It is.
To allow it to happen. But that is really what the crux of courage is, just to let go. It takes a different kind of bravery rather than just rushing in and say, hey, I know how to help you do this. You know, the kid falls, I can brush you off, rather than really resisting that urge to jump in and save and then let that kid help themselves stand up. You can be there with them, but rather than you picking up and you start crying, oh, are you okay? Because they're going to react to how you react, your emotions, but just allowing their emotions to come up however it's going to come up, that actually fosters some bravery and courage to step out there for the kid to be vulnerable themselves, rather than you trying to come in and to take care of and to manage it.
Well, and that resilience piece, because I know when I was reading through the notes, I was thinking about teaching a child how to tie their shoes and how it is so much easier to sit down and tie the child's shoes because it's excruciating watching them do it and it doesn't work and do it. And then when they get upset, you just want to jump in and tie their shoes so that you can move on about your day. But teaching them that resilience of managing those emotions in the moment, sitting back, watching, being quiet, maybe providing a little coaching translates nicely into leadership as well.
And an example popped up with my daughter for her seventh grade year. We homeschooled. And so when I had siblings come in or we would go visit friends, I would create a way that they could do lessons with her, what might be inside of the curriculum that we were following. And it's interesting because I'd always process it afterwards. And after one particular session with a friend, I asked how it went. And she was like, well, he gave me the answers, because that was one of the lessons I was working on. Was she was used to asking a question and getting an answer from whatever teachers. And she's really smart. So rather than looking up the answer, she was asked the question, she'd get the answer, good to go. So but with homeschooling, it wasn't that way. It'd be a much more Socratic kind of conversation. And how could you find that? And where might that be? And then looking it up and thinking it through. And then with this one, she was like, yeah, he gave me the answers. And it was fascinating for me that she saw that. So with homework, I think we can actually teach courageousness, because it's a big deal to get something wrong in school. Raise your hand, say the wrong answer, people laugh at you, or the teacher tell you you're wrong, whatever internal narratives are created from that act alone. And as a parent in coaching and helping your kid with homework, you can help shape that narrative to be different, that could be courageous, to allow them to be willing to let go of having to have the right answer or to be given the right answer. And so it's applicability in a bunch of different areas.
It really is. And I think when you think about the professional setting and leaders, I think one of the most difficult ones is delegation. That is one of the things that people struggle with the most, because it is releasing control. And we all know or we believe that we could do it faster and better than the other person if we gave it to them. So that delegation piece, having the courage to hand something over, is huge inside of the professional setting.
Same thing with parenting. It's huge for both, because growth isn't going to happen. If one of the fundamental roles you have is to develop your people, you have to be willing to let go of that control. And, you know, just like with other topics, we do have a slight caveat to that. It's not just pointing them to the vast unknown and say, hey, go develop X, when X is, you know, 20 steps that they've never done before. You do want to help set them up for success. Be clear on the expectations, be clear on the boundaries and the parameters and what is success. And then also just make sure that you're touching in and encouraging along the way with that. That part is so, so very critical. And I think that we're kind of leading into our next topic around developing others. And so all of this together really helps the developing others become easier, if you can think of it from a courage perspective and letting go. The moment that courage stops being about control and starts being about contributing to another, everything changes. Your mindset changes. Courage becomes lighter. It's easier to do. It's no longer about protecting myself, but about empowering others. And that's where the purpose begins to become in the spotlight. So courage really starts to feel like purpose.
Well, and courage also expands when the goal isn't about self-preservation, but about people development. And you can't expect to delegate something if you haven't given the development or the runway or the opportunity. So when leaders anchor courage in developing others, fear actually becomes fuel for growth rather than that barrier. And I'm sure we've all encountered those individuals who don't want to hand something over, who don't want to delegate. And it really does become a barrier, not just with getting projects done, but even working relationship-wise with that individual, that fear really does become a barrier to accomplishing things.
So, John, I want to stop you for a second and ask you just to go over that point again, because there was a lot of great things in it and my brain was firing, not listening to the second half of what you were saying. And I want to make sure I get it and also that the listeners get it. So could you create that for us again?
Sure. When leaders anchor courage in developing others, fear actually becomes fuel for growth rather than a barrier. So the focus from protecting my personal image to creating capabilities in others really becomes that purpose.
So fear becomes fuel for growth, I think is the phrase that I'm stopping on, because, you know, as a parent, you don't want your kids to be afraid. I don't want to be afraid, but that fear can be fuel for growth. And I so clearly see it at this moment in this conversation. But outside of the context of this conversation, I wouldn't have seen that. That is so powerful. How can we help our listeners understand that phrase or that concept a little bit more?
Well, I think the first step is maybe shifting our mindset, because we typically think of fear as something negative. And fear doesn't necessarily equal something negative. It is an emotion, and emotions are neither good nor bad. They are important to who we are as humans, and they are a specific data point. And it is our ability to process that emotion as an emotion, not necessarily as good or bad, positive or negative.
For me, when I'm facing something new that does require courage and I may not want to display it, what's going through my head is, I might fail. I'm going to fail. What if I fail? And so that mindset, I think, is really positive if I reframed it inside of my purpose of, you know, what if I don't learn something? Like, why don't I be afraid of that? You know, because I've got to do it anyway. Because it's so tightly bound with what I say is important for me to pursue, that the risk of not going through that and not learning something is scarier than what if I fail.
And we have to shift our thinking around that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then to know that by empowering others, we build courage in them. And mm-hmm. then they feel trusted. And then they will take braver actions. So by letting go of the control, it actually multiplies that capability.
And we talked about, you know, the empowering builds capabilities in our last episode. And I think the encourage, you know, because the prefix en to the word courage is to en, I think, is to pour into or to cover up with. So to cover up the person in your charge with courage. I think this conversation really puts a spotlight on, as leaders, as parents, we have to help people trust their own growth, that they may miss it. They may not realize because they're so ingrained and I'm scared to death. I don't want to fail. And I'm doing this thing. They're fixated on doing the thing, not so much what they've learned in doing the thing. And so as a leader, if we could help pause and pull them back and allow them to see it so that they can experience this new thing in their life and really encourage them. And some ways to do that is to, you know, remind them what it took to get there. This was a big deal. You learned these things. You tried this, you failed at that, and you got right back up. So like really remind them what it took to get there and acknowledge it. And then tell them, hey, you were meant to be here. you are meant to be able to do this, and I am proud of you. And then just reinforce the things that they did right. I think that that encouragement part is so critical to the development. And I see that is often what is looked over. In the world of work, people will send their employees off to learn something, or they'll give them a project to learn a new skill, and they'll applaud the effort, they'll applaud it, but they don't necessarily sit back and say, hey, you know, look what you've done. And look at the growth that you've had. It's almost like, you know, you're walking up a very long flight of stairs with something very heavy that's very delicate, and you pause at the top of it and you look back. It's like, I did that. This was so important to make sure these things didn't break on the way up, or that I got them all the way up here. And it took a lot of effort, but to actually stop and breathe and take it in that, yes, I did that. And I think leaders and parents, it's real important to stop and to do that. Help them see how far they've come. And I think that sets them up for being willing to do it again the next time they're afraid.
Well, as I'm listening to you, I think the true test of courage, whether we're talking about professional or parental courage, is not about how much we do. It really is how much we develop others through the trust and building that trust. And when our focus shifts to growing others, courage becomes less about the performance we do and more about that relationship, more about that partnership with the other person. And so that takes intentionality. It takes intentionality for us to make sure that we are doing the things that we need to when it comes to stepping in and being courageous, but also helping others through that as well, which kind of leads us into applying the core framework to help us sustain it.
Applying the core framework to this concept of letting go and encouraging others to take that mantle. With curiosity, key things that you want to focus on here is to help shift how people think about that fear. And so you can ask questions of yourself or of others, you know, what are you afraid of? What am I afraid of losing if I let go in this situation? And if you are working with someone and trying to develop them, you know, what are you more afraid of if this doesn't happen? What's possible if you do it? What's possible if you don't do it? Like really helping them name their fear and then reframe the fear. I think curiosity can really help you do that by asking questions.
Well, and then when we talk about openness creates that connection. It doesn't create chaos. It is about being transparent, especially during times of uncertainty or during a time of a shift or a massive change. Being open allows for the opportunity for courageous decisions to be made.
And then that leads us to reflection, the R, as part of the core framework. And I think it can happen with both parts, you reflecting on you and then helping the people in your charge to reflect on their growth and what they did. I want to talk first about noticing yourself and reflecting on how you were. The people who are in your charge are going to develop with or without your help. I think a starting point is, what did I do to help that? Was I trying to be more controlling? Did I foster them taking control? Where was my ego in this? Was it more about me and being seen as a good parent or not being embarrassed, or me being seen as the powerful manager that knows everything? Or was your intention focused on the development of that person, of them learning the skill of your kid trying to learn how to drive, or from your employee learning how to do a high stakes presentation in front of senior leaders? Where was your ego with that? And then the second side of it is with that person that's in your charge, helping them reflect on how far they've come. What did you do? What were the points that you were afraid? Was there ever a point you just didn't think it was going to happen? What was that like? How did you get through it? And really put it in language of, what did you do to get through that? What were your thoughts to help you get through this so that they can own it? Because you're just there creating the environment. You're not the one doing it. They're the ones in the center. Help them reflect so that when they're faced with a challenge again, and you're not there, they've got those reflections as learning, and they can actually process it and think critically to how to get face it and get through it themselves.
Which then leads to embrace. And I think whatever shows up for you during that reflection on both sides, it's embracing every piece of that. Because when we do, we are able to rewire our brain for risk, for fear, for discomfort, and growth continues to happen. So it's that sustainability piece when we start to embrace all of those moments that show up for us, and knowing when we want to be different or do different allows us to have that repetition and be able to encounter and respond in situations the way that we want to.
So that is our core framework as it aligns to the courage of letting go and the courage to let others take over. So courage really is not about pushing harder. It really is about softening enough to move forward wisely. It's about being willing to take that pause and resist the urge to jump in. When we model that, we give permission for courage to multiply across the team. That's where transformation is possible, higher performance is possible. And you can react to quick changes in the business or quick emergencies at home much faster, much quicker, with a much stronger and healthy outcome when that's present.
Which leads us to the reflection prompt. So there's a couple of different perspectives that I want us to think about this week. And the first one is, when have we mistaken control for care? And what fear sits underneath our need to hold on to that control? I think this is a huge one for me, one that I'm going to sit with all week. But the other perspective is, if courage is a muscle built through repetition, just like any other muscle, then what are some of those small acts of letting go this week that we can practice in order to build that muscle and make courageous decisions?
As you were sharing that first reflection, just so many examples of me as a parent, you know, coming up in my head of, what did I do the right thing? And it's all hindsight, second guessing. Did I do the right thing? And could I have done it differently? Could I not have tried to be so much in control? And what would have happened if I wasn't? And did I give up too much control in some places where I should have been a bit more involved and wasn't, because I allowed that process? So a lot of things bouncing around my brain for that reflection for this week. Well, that brings us to the end and talking about our next episode. Our next episode is going to be focused on adaptability. We'll have the title and more information as we develop that over this next week. So please do not forget to access our resources on our website, www.questtothecore.com. You'll find our discussion guides and other items that are useful as companions to each episode.
And as always, a very special thanks to Grammy recognized hit songwriter Cliff Goldmacher for our theme song. You can reference his information on our website.
And until next time, lead with courage, the kind of courage that lets go so that others can grow.